Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and this is Joanne White, and welcome to another powerful Wednesday and another powerful You Day. And what better way to start this with someone who not only helps people get in touch with their power, their individuality, their truth, their wisdom, on and on and on, but lives it, breathes it, and does it all by himself. And I am so excited to tell you more and to introduce you to Gary Kobat, who's an author, speaker, a life and performance coach. And he utilizes ancient wisdom and cutting-edge trends in human performance. Gary guides transformation and evolution for individuals and for teams alike, dynamically creating legendary results. Once in a rare while, you come across someone who's willing to set the record straight and tell you a truth that will shift the way you think about yourself and the world. And guess what, folks? That is Gary. When it comes to teaching us to gracefully get older, yet look and feel younger, assisting us to awaken, heal, and step into our true power from our heart with compassionate self-love and self-care, Gary Kobat is that man. He's become a world-known authority in the field of mind, body, spirit, and sport, and the proposed prophet who, by loving himself, loves the world one soul at a time. He's been interviewed by Darren Hardy and CBS, and he has an incredible client list that includes Jim Carrey, Will Ferrell, Kate Winslet, and has written articles for Deepak Chopra. So he is incredible, and people love him, and I am so excited to introduce you to Gary. Hello, Gary.
Good morning. Oh, wow.
Was that too long-winded?
I was like, who is that guy? I'm signing up. Anyway,
well,
look, it's exciting. It's an amazing day in L.A. right now. I just turned 55, and I can't wait to be 100. I'm just warming up. I'm just figuring out how this whole life thing works, you know, because of all of our experiences, you know, every single thing that happens either to us or for us or with us, you know, is a chance to awaken. And that's really what it's all about, is everything that's going on is to awaken to what? Awaken to ourselves. I think we completely misunderstand the power of who we are and what we have, you know, in the palm of our hand. And I think that's what we want to talk about a little bit today, is this enoughness. Like, who are we? And this enoughness, or not feeling like we're enoughness. So maybe we can get into that a little bit.
You know, I think that's I think we will, and I think that's important. And like I said earlier, Gary, you exemplify that because you have won medals like at the Senior Olympic Games. You're making a comeback at the USA Duathlon and California Time Trial Championships. You lead weeks in a cycling camp. There's something called the Indoor Tour de France. So it's something that you have to learn and probably have learned. You have to actually live is really what I'm talking about, awakening to yourself each day to live at the level that you do. So let's focus there for a minute and then branch out to everybody. How do you do that? How do you have the discipline and the wherewithal and all the energy and the mindset and everything, all the tools that you teach people, how do you get them for yourself?
Well, when you do what you love, you've heard this before, it's not work. So when you do what you love, you're a creator. You're on all cylinders. All antennas are up. You're feeling, you're tasting, you're seeing, you're hearing at levels, at such higher levels. And so when you're doing something you don't love or you're obligated to do, you're on a completely different energy. So it's this, you know, let's say we took the horizon and we viewed everything above the horizon as like above the horizon energy and everything below the horizon as below the horizon energy. And if you just got simple and kept it simple and just allowed yourself, just pause and just allow yourself to hear what you're saying, feel what you're feeling, you'll see your energy is either above that horizon or line or below it. And we want to keep our energy above the horizon. That's, you know, power and grace and I can and I'm enough and I wonder what would happen if and those kinds of things. And below the line, it's this, you know, I don't feel good enough and I, you know, I don't know where to start and I don't feel good today and all those, you know, I'm scared and all of those negative feelings are darker feelings. So we've got light and we've got dark. And so when you do what you love, you're in the light. You're a creator. And when
and
you're
you
in
know,
the dark, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and really, if everybody would understand that they are creators, that they can and are magnificent creators, what a wondrous change we would be creating together on this planet.
Yeah, so this little kid at 5 years old realizes he's got some gifts, and one of my gifts was energy. So I just started bopping around on ice skates and with a ball in my hand and a glove in my hand and the Little League and the Hockey League and all of those things. And I just had the biggest smile on my face. And it was just, you know, kind of 24/7. And if you, like I said, if you ask my mom, if you ask my sister, they're like, oh, we didn't know what to do with him. So I was just loving everything. I was just loving life because life is bigger than us. And inside us is life, life force. So we are life. So if you love life and know that life is amazing, inside we are life, we are amazing. We're enough. We have tremendous amount of enoughness. So I was just bopping around from a little kid all the way through my teens and into college and beyond. And you know, like I said, at 55, little hiccups along the way, like the hip goes out and you've got to get a new hip. So I put in a new hip a few years ago in India, came back, and like you said, I'm on the comeback trail. Why? Because I love it. It's not work. You know, at 55, I think our body's made the move, and we can move, you know, beyond 100 now. You know, George Burns, what? He died 49 days after 100, right? We just heard the other day that the first 100-year-old marathoner finished a complete marathon. So what's going to happen in the next 10 or 15 years are going to be unbelievable. You know, we grew up, well, probably you and I grew up, you know, and the story was what? It was impossible to do the four-minute mile. And now hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have done a sub-four-minute mile. And that's just belief. That's just enoughness or not. So when we do what we love and we stay in that love, it's not work. So when you put 300,000 miles on your body on a bike, first of all, to ride a bike, if you don't keep moving, you fall over. So you've got to be aware of balance and wind and feeling and breathing and eyesight and potholes and car doors and, you know, whatever. So I love likening, you know, life like a bike. And if you just, you got to keep moving, otherwise you'll fall over. So all of these things that I'm now assisting people to reawaken to and within themselves has come from since I was, you know, five, just doing that ice skate thing and the Hockey League.
Now, somebody would say, what do you do? You know, people have, there are lots of people out there, Gary, who have tons of energy, and yet they don't know how to really kind of channel or focus that energy. And it's as though you're taking that bicycle and you're just riding around in circles with it, and you're not, you don't have a direction, and you're really not knowing what to do with it. And at some point, you may be off course because you never really set a course. What do you tell people in terms of how to take this abundant energy that really is all of us within us, as you're talking, and to really be able to focus it to do everything that, like you do, everything that they need to do, everything that they choose to do?
Well, choose the things that you love and start delegating some of the things that you don't, or start eliminating some of those things that you don't. So the first thing is, and this is the core. This is the core issue. This was the core issue with Whitney Houston. This is the core issue with everybody, is, am I enough or not? If you saw the funeral, you saw him talking about, you know, she was in the trailer and she broke down crying and she didn't know if she was enough to do the part, do the audition. She was plenty. And when we're little kids, you know, we always get, accolades like good job. But they don't say good job and you're an amazing person. They just say good job. And then they say, no, don't do that. Bad job. Don't do that. Don't put your hand there. The stove is hot. Instead of saying, don't do that, the stove is hot and you're amazing and we love you anyway. So early on, we're conditioned to feel unworthy. So the first place I help people start, I assist them to take a look at, is from the very, very, very beginning when we were born, we're born worthy. We're born with life and life force. And somewhere along the line, they bought into not feeling worthy. Somebody either fed them that, or they got it, you know, and were aware or conscious they were getting it, or they got criticized all the time, or their folks abandoned them emotionally or something. So somewhere along the line, they didn't feel good enough. I know when I was brought up, there was a lot of drinking, a lot of alcohol in our family, and I would always, I realized somewhere along the line later in life, I went, wow, they like alcohol more than they love me. So that was my issue.
Wow.
To come
well,
and do it.
And I, you know, I think it's so important because you're right. People, that's so basic, and we all of us have, because as you're talking, a memory pops in mind about that I'll tell you about in a second. All of us have that conditioning in terms of not feeling enough, not feeling worthy. And if we were just to be able to access, as you and I are talking, that infinite potentiality and greatness that's within us, it's just mind-boggling. I remember a story, and I got to tell this really quickly because when you were talking about your family, I remember a story. My father used to, and I loved him dearly, but my father was a real strong taskmaster. And I remember he had a passion for photography. And I remember one day he was taking me out to do a so-called photo shoot, and it was my first time, and I was young, and I was, like, honored. I was so excited. He had bought me a new camera. I was so excited and so nervous about doing it wrong and not being good enough that presumably I loaded the camera. We went out. We spent the whole day taking pictures, and I had loaded the camera wrong. So all those beautiful pictures were for naught. They didn't exist. Talk about really not only getting that message, but living that message and kind of replicating it in terms of my belief system, which you know, today I can laugh at, but at that point as a kid, I was devastated.
Well, exactly. However, there's dad or there's mom or there's a brother or a sibling or something and says, it's all right. Oh, well.
Right.
You know, no biggie. We'll do it again.
That's
and
true.
And you'll even, you got practice. And that was a warm-up. You know, or whatever, right? It's just re-encouraging that you're enough. You're awesome. You're capable just as you are. And it doesn't matter what happens. It's okay, I always say. It's okay. And you know, that's one of the books I'm writing now is It's Okay. It's like
no,
whatever happens. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say your lesson that you just said, that's just a very brief lesson, is one for parents to hear, parents and siblings, like you said, because at some point we're all going to mess up. We do. That's part of human nature. You got to learn to laugh at it. But if there was somebody, like you said, Gary, somebody like a parent or a sibling or a teacher who said, you are enough, great job, it's okay, you can – You're wonderful. You're incredible. What a difference that would make. And so that's advice, folks. We're putting that out there to you. That's advice that Gary's giving to everybody. Remember to remind the people that you love that not only are they good enough, but they are incredible human beings, and we need to love them and support them. So go ahead.
Well, they're life force. They're incredibly
right.
capable, and they're complete. They're not missing anything. All the answers are inside, and the more awareness they have along the years, you know, along with their age or their experiences and whatever, the more in tune they are, they will realize that. They will listen to that. But what happens is, for instance, you know, in our family, you know, one of the kids was a mistake. Now, what was that? Now, why would that said? Why was that information spread around? A mistake. He wasn't a mistake. He was awesome. He's a brother. He's an awesome human being. But, you know, how many times have you heard that? It's not a mistake. He was unexpected, and we love him anyway, right? And so that's how that human grows up to feel unworthy, not enough. You know, in Hollywood, right, I work a lot of people, and I quietly work with them, and they're never around. They're always on location. So the kids that they have, I had, like, the same feeling I had, and it's like, wow, the movie's more important than their love for me. It's like the alcohol is more important than my folks' love for me. And I had to get over that. I had to face that. And these kids in Hollywood have to face that, that they're okay just the way they are. They're loving and lovable. They're a creator, and they're a life force. So when you asked me earlier, it's like, you know, where do we start, and how did you have the discipline to – I just go first step. We could spend an hour on this first step, but I'll sum it up here, and that is you're enough. Start with your life force. You are enough, and that's it. Start with you were born enough, and then start inquiring along the way the feelings that you have. So you brought up another thing, and that's what we call the human experience. We have all these amazing experiences, light. And then we have these challenges. We're going to make, you know, mistakes, or we're going to, you know, steer the wrong way, or we're going to, you know, expect something and something else happens. That's the downside of the dark side of not always being somebody else's, you know, vision of what they want and their expectations. Okay? We don't have a lot. There's two things we don't have a tremendous amount of coaching, assistance, or education in, and that is how to love ourselves. How to nourish and bring some compassion to ourselves when those instances happen. Okay.
And, you know, those instances, like you said, they're going to happen all the time. And that's incredible, because if people only were able to recognize and to understand and to take time to teach how people how to love themselves, or to learn how to do that and be able to do that automatically or just very intuitively and instinctively, that would be very powerful for each person. Do you work a lot with Hollywood kids?
I do, as a matter of fact. And that either is separate than their family, or it comes along with. And usually I'll work with the actor, and then along the way I get a chance to work with the kids. So, yeah, I work with a lot of kids. I'm working with a 16-year-old right now who, again, each week is learning how to be more in touch with themselves and is in a private school, and that's what they're teaching also. So it's great to be in sync with her, her school, her mom, and then obviously some things I assist with and the things that have worked along the way. So, you know, you asked that question, how do you stay so disciplined, or how do you do it through from 5 to 55? And that first core thing is it's in our soul, and that is we're enough. And that second thing is, you know, it's okay if it doesn't go all right. And if you're a baseball player, you can make millions of dollars striking out a lot as long as you get a hit every once every three times, right? So if you get a hit, you know, 3 out of 10 times, you're going to make millions and millions of dollars. So that means you fail 7 times out of 10, and it's okay. It's just what happens. It's part of the growth process, and it's part of the craft and the art.
See,
so,
I think that's where people get stuck, Gary, because people make mistakes, and that's part of the human, like you said, that's part of the human experience. But then after that mistake, they don't get over it. They keep berating themselves and going back to kind of negating that first truth that you talked about, that you are enough, and they start disbelieving that and doubting themselves. What do you do with those people?
Well, it's fear. You know, fear. People are driven by fear. So now when they're going, don't do that, don't put your hand on the stove, now they're scared. There's this conditioning that starts to happen. Of this reprimand, or, you know, recrimination, or what's going to happen if. And so now they start hesitating, and they start doubting. And that's really fear. And all fear is when they get stuck in the future. Because really all we have is right now. We don't have yesterday, and we don't even have an hour from now. All you and I have right now is the next words that come out of our mouth, you know, no matter what they are, right? And so that's what we have, and that's what everybody has right now, the words they're listening to or the words they're writing down if they're taking notes. And we only have right now, but doubt is really about fear, and fear and anxiety. Like I'm pacing a 56-year-old young lady on Sunday in the L.A. Marathon. So she and I are going to run the marathon. I'm pacing her. Okay, and we did a little segment on TV the other morning on the morning show, and I talked about fear. And I said, the first thing I do is I got to get out of her head. I got to get her out of her head. I got to get her out of, like, she's already, when she's standing on the starting line, I already know she's going to be, what's going to happen on mile 18? And I'm going to have to go, it doesn't matter what happens on mile 18. The only thing that matters is the next footstep. So you bring them back to now, and that's how you ride a bike, and that's how you race a race, a running race, and that's how you swim. It's the next breath, and you know, that's how you do those kinds of things, and you practice and practice and practice, and you know, there's nothing like movement to open up the mind and get in touch with who you really are. So, you know, with Jim Carrey, when we started, there was this challenge. He was in a very bad place in his life. He's taking it, you know, very, very down. Time of his life, very challenged, and he didn't have the answer, so he's just doubting himself, as you ask. And I just say, wait a minute, you're from Canada? He said, yeah. And I said, right, you ice skating? Yeah. So we just grabbed the skates, and we went skating for the first session. And why? Because he loved it. I got him to be a little kid within minutes once we got on the ice. And he loved it, and it wasn't work. It wasn't a workout. You know, how many times have you went, oh, gee, I got to get on the treadmill, or I got to go, you know? No. So then whenever he gets in that place, you know, worked with him for the last 10 years, I would just say, let's go for a walk. I don't know if I want to go for it. You know, Gandhi walked. Really? I go, yeah, he walked 6 days a week. Why? Because he looked up to people that, you know, had major influence on paradigm shifts in the world. And that was a passion of his. So,
you know, you're talking about movement. I'm sorry, I have to just. You're talking about movement, which is so incredibly important, and it does help center and focus people. And so, you know, like you, I also interweave that into what I'm doing with people, and I have a background in dance and movement. So it's just, I recognize it, because when I'm stuck trying to find words to write up my book or whatever, I'll stand up from the computer and actually dance and move. And somehow, once I'm able to do that, I'm able to sort of get the information that I need. And at first I thought it was silly and strange, but it totally goes along with what you're talking about movement. And we are. We're designed to move.
We're designed to move, and then as we start moving, the body's pharmacy opens up for business. And it starts feeding the areas, okay, of what's needed. Serotonin, dopamine, I mean, all of these, you know, neurotransmitters and feel-good hormones start happening. Endorphins, you know, after 11, 12, 13 minutes of moving, before you know it, you're like, ah. Oh. You know, it's like you took a Valium or something. It's like peaceful. It's like who you are. And then you're open. You don't have, you know. You don't have the freeway you just got off of. Why? Because you're moving and jamming to music, and, you know, everything's opening up, and next thing you know, your mind's open. So once your mind's open, that's the best time to learn. That's the best time to expand. That's the best time to create. So, you know, if you talk to Lance Armstrong, if you got us in the room, you go, hey, Lance, you know, what do you do when you're all stressed out and everything? Hey, Gary, what do you do when you're all stressed out? And they'll go, oh, he's probably on his bike on a 60, 70-mile ride. Why? Because we create our books. We create the next seminar. We figure out, oh, my gosh, this plus this equals that, and it's some simplified way of saying something so somebody can get it that's having a struggling time with it. So movement,
you know,
is amazing.
It is. It's totally amazing. And I want to read some. You have a great, by the way, folks, Gary's going to tell you about some of the great free information that you can get, not only on his website, his ebook, but you also have this. It's kind of a newsletter, Infinite Possibilities, and I'm signed up, and I encourage everybody to do that. And here's a quote, and it says, it's about scarcity, and it says, scarcity is an important teacher. It's showing you a belief that needs to be corrected. It's not a punishment. When we forgive our past and let go in the now, scarcity dissipates and the possibilities are infinite. And I just love, firstly, I love your writing, and I just, and that quote is just so very powerful because it gets to the heart of a lot of what we're talking about today. So tell people about some of the incredible, aside from all the people that you're helping and helping to vibrate at this great level and recognize their own greatness and live it and breathe it, what do you have for people that they can access? Because it's so marvelous. For you've got a gem, a gold mine on your website, and you're creating more and more and more.
Well, like I said when we first started, I'm just warming up. So, you know, if everybody, if they just took a minute and went to GaryKobat.com, GaryKobat.com, there's a simple page there, and again, a little story about how I got my hip fix that comes on within about 3 or 4 seconds. But just go ahead and put your email address in there, and you'll get that newsletter you're talking about. We call it the Mindful Tool, and it comes Tuesdays and Thursdays, twice a week, and it's thought-provoking, and it asks you to turn back within. So it takes your mind away from going outside of you. You know, there's outside influences, and then there's the answers are always within. So this little mindful tool, we call it, I've been writing them for about the last 3 years, and we've put them all together in what we call the Mindful Tool Library. So within the month, we're going to be launching what I call the Mindful Tool Library. It's a very simple, small little website, and there's hundreds of mindful tools in there on courage, on fear, on doubt, on finance, on relationship, whatever. And again, I go for a walk in the morning, and I come back and I write. And I'm writing and writing and writing, and now there's, you know, close to 200 of them. So they're all in this Mindful Tool Library, but it's free. So just put your email address in there, and you'll start getting them twice a week, and then within a month or so, you'll be getting this announcement of having access to all of them. And what a great way. I just create a little video, and we'll attach it to the announcement. And bottom line is I go for a walk, and I write. And those are the two things that get me out of my head, get me out of, you know, CNN, and it gets me out of the future or the past, and it connects me to me.
And so it doesn't have to be walking, but I use walking as an incredible tool like you do, and it helps quiet the mind, and it allows for all these creative ideas. It could be bicycling like you also do. It could be anything, but what you're recommending to people, and I totally wholeheartedly agree, is movement, because like you said, that's what our bodies are made to do, move. This is something that I really wanted to ask you, because you talk a lot about loving yourself and that it's important to get that, it's important to realize that you are enough. How does loving yourself kind of influence or impact the way that you or people love other people and receive love in return?
Well, we attract back in like energies. So one of the most challenging projects is going from hard on yourself to loving yourself and learning how to do that. And that's coming from this enoughness. So we start with the simplest way, and that is to just pause. So just a simple pause, 3 or 4 seconds. And stop that crazy mind going, and stop reacting, and stop panicking, and reacting and responsive, and want to put the gloves on and punch somebody out, or want to blast out something out of your mouth. But just when you're ready to do that, catch yourself, and just pause. We just teach the pause, I call it. Mm-hmm. And when you pause, it's loving. It's stopping you from that high reactional emotional wound coming out. That trigger. And so that's one way, is to just pause. The other way is to simply, there's outside and inside. I always say it's an inside job. Reconnecting yourself, loving yourself is an inside job. And your spirit, your core essence, your life force is inside. It's in your heart. So love dissipates fear. Love dissipates anger. Love and caring. So in love, if you talk to a guy, oh, you're talking about that love thing again. How about let's talk about caring. Let's talk about compassion. let's talk about, hey, put your arm around yourself like you're a buddy or a best friend and just say, hey, let's go for a walk. Or let's just take a moment and pause for about 30 seconds. So when fear comes up, you put your arm around it. Most people go, oh, they duck and they run away from fear, right? You do that,
sure.
And it gets stronger, and it gets stronger, and it gets stronger each time. But when you just face it, bringing some love to yourself means just put your arm around it and go, you know, I see you, fear. Not today. I'm not buying into what you have to offer today, and I'm not highly reactive right now. I'm going to just put my arm around you and let you know. And as soon as you do that, it dissipates. So there's some go ahead.
That's just so true, because I've experienced that in my own life and the people that I coach. It's really, you have to be able to sort of, I say, break the fear cycle. So it's really about that, and your tips are great about that. And also what happens is when somebody is so used to or so conditioned to not being enough, and they take those, as you're saying, and I believe too, they're attracting that energy, attracting other people to them who continuously tell them that in other ways. All they're doing, all those people are doing, are reinforcing those same beliefs that you have within yourself. So it's really, if you're looking at the people and saying, why is he or she treating me like that? Well, turn around, and as you and I are talking, turn around and take a look at what you're doing with yourself. You know, it's funny because I used to berate myself so much, and I finally learned to give myself cues like, good job, good girl, wow, look. And initially it was the strangest thing, Gary. It felt
exactly.
So artificial and silly. But now I even do it out loud and sort of giggle, and it's fun.
Well, first of all, who's responsible for doing that? You are. Nobody
right.
else's responsibility. You know, I always help assist people to take responsibility. Responsibility means everything you think, feel, say, and do. Think, feel, say, and do. Well, who's responsibility to applaud yourself? You. It's your responsibility. So why not, right? If everybody today walked around from their car to the office or their, you know, through the shopping mall or to pick up their kids or whatever and just said, I'm worthy, I'm enough, I'm worthy, I'm enough, I'm worthy. And they just did that all day, and it's made a song out of it. By this evening, you're like, man, I'm worthy, man, I'm totally enough. And
guess what? That's the next thing you're going to do. You're going to make a CD for kids.
Well, exactly.
Because I think it's
start.
Fun, right? Yeah.
Well, why? You know, let's start with the kids. Why? Because by the time they're 45, oh my gosh, the knots that have to be unknotted about worthiness, about self-care and self-love and compassion. So, of course, we want to start with the kids, and then we will start certainly with the teenagers.
So what's next for you? You do so much. You're doing all these events and speaking and triathlons, and so what's right, and you have this life-changing program called Without Limits. Talk about
yes.
that a little bit, because it's everything. It's so, I think it embraces everything that we've been talking about, probably so much more, but tell folks about that.
Great, and all I do is you put a little structure to it so we can follow along and move through the day. So it's a third, a third, a third. So when you climb a hill on a bike, it's a third, a third, a third. So you approach the first third a certain way. It leads to the second third, and it leads to the third third. So, you know, in Without Limits, it's really about navigating this path of change and possibility. Is we feed the mind for the first third. We talk about what are you feeding your mind with. It's all about nourishment, even with the mind. And then we balance the body in the middle third. What are you doing? Are you just beating up your body? Are you just slamming the pizza at midnight? Or what are you doing here? Are you just stuffing it? You know, what are we doing here? Are we cleansing it? Are we moving? Are we not moving? It's okay. Whatever's happening is okay. Let's just start where we're at. We feed the mind, we balance the body, and then we nourish the spirit. Because we get to that core. We get to that enoughness. And we talk and we base that entire program on enoughness, on self-care and love and enoughness. Those two things, these are the two key core things. If you did nothing in the next month but worked on your enoughness and your self-compassion, whether it's getting your nails done or taking a day off or just to finish a point a little earlier, and we hit on it in this Without Limits program, is stop giving your power away. How many women in their 40s, I get a tremendous amount of clients in their 40s, divorced, a couple of kids, you know, a little worried about their future. I mean, is the alimony payment coming? Do I get a job or not? I mean, these kinds of things. Or the slightly older in their 40s and the empty nesters, right? The kids are at college and so forth, and they don't know what to do. Why? Because they've been giving their power away for the last 20 years. So what do? They're in the PTA, and they you know, giving away their power to all their kids, and then they have the ex, and then they might have a new boyfriend, and then they're thinking about a job, and they're thinking about their girlfriends and their folks, and the folks might be, you know, ill or not, or somebody might have died, and then you've got other aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and before you know it, you've given away your power, and you're trashed. You're absolutely fatigued. And so
giving away your power is exhausting and exhaustive.
Exactly. And then so this epidemic in the late 30s and 40s with women is adrenal fatigue. And I just did a little article in Access Hollywood last week about that, about taking your power back. And it's coming from this core enoughness, this core worthiness. So we do and explore a lot of that. I'll even take it, you know, whatever. I'll even take maybe a half hour, and I'll line up all these foods on a table, you know, like trail mix. Trail mix is basically fat and sugar.
Right.
So, you know, you think you might be eating some snack that's healthy. You're basically eating fat and sugar, which is probably not going to serve you the way you thought it was going to serve you.
Right. And unfortunately, a lot of that so-called healthy stuff is in health food stores or in the health food section in your supermarket or whatever. And read the labels.
Exactly. So we do it all from A to Z, and we're creating the Without Limits weekend. So we actually get a chance to, you know, draw blood if we have to and get the results back the next day. And I can show people really what's going on. You know, I just did this big article that'll be out soon on seniors and turning back the clock. And, you know, we're not our age on the calendar. You know, that's chronological. We're biological. It's how do we feel? And what is our age inside our body? So if you took all the serotonin levels and the dopamine levels and the cholesterol levels and the oxygen in the blood levels and the female hormone levels, and you took all of that, and are you really 45 or are you 45 going on 58? Are you 45 going on 30?
And there are lots of people like that.
So my other program I do is called Turning 50, Looking 40, Feeling 30.
I like
that. I show people how to take 20 years off their life and add 20 years of energy back to their life. So what happens when you ride a bike for 300,000 miles? You have to be in tune, highly in tune with every single antenna to keep those kinds of intensities in the Tour de France, 21 days. It's like 100 miles a day. To the hills of France. So we have to, you know, be able to be a finely tuned machine mentally, physically, and spiritually. Otherwise,
so
we burn out.
How do you teach people the spiritual aspect in your program? Because I, you know, all of this as we're talking, you know that I embrace all of this too, and I teach it.
Sure.
But how do you teach people to really except that spiritual part is so much a part of being limitless and to do whatever it is they need to do and to honor all that vast potential within themselves?
I keep it simple, really, really simple. You know, when we talked about Jim Carrey and his ice skating, that's spiritual. Everything is spiritual. So we just don't call it that in the masses, right, mass population. So when I say, hey, Jim, you're from Canada, right? You ice skate? And I was just a hunch, right? I was just feeling an opportunity because I was like, all right, where do I start with him? He seems to be so challenged right now getting started and getting moving. And I had a hunch, right? Canada, I'm thinking to myself, right? I'm a kid. I grew up in Chicago. I'm ice skater. You know, I was out there all the time, no matter if it was winter, spring, or summer, or fall. So are they in Toronto where he grew up? Of course. He said, of course I ice skate. I'm like, great, let's do it. So he became 15 years old. He was 40 at the time. He's just turned 50. And he was 40 at the time, and he turned 15 years old within minutes. And I know we said that, but that's the spiritual part. That's love in action. So when I ask people to make a love list and make all the things they love, now a lot of the people on Facebook are beginning to learn, I love sunrises and I love sunsets. Love,
oh,
love,
yeah.
Love, love, love. Don't even like. I love them. Right, I'm there. It's 5:45, I'm there with my camera. As soon as that little crack of, you know, comes up over the horizon, right? Why? Because I never know what we're going to get. And then I share it on Facebook. So if you're not a friend yet, go ahead on Facebook, just Gary Kobat on Facebook, and friend me, and you'll see. I just have this starting to be dozens and dozens of pictures. I'm out there, you know, 3-4 days a week out of 7 doing the sunside sets or sunrises. It's just a passion. But I love it, right? It's that energy and that spiritual. So I ask everybody to take a love list and make a love list and start focusing some energies on what you love. You know, teaching somebody how to care for themselves, get off the edge, pause, very spiritual. But they don't know that. We don't call it that. So what you ask people to do is to feel. And when they start feeling joy and feeling happiness and feeling the love of themselves and what they love to do, they be. So it's not about always doing. It's about feeling and being. And when they feel better, that's love in action, that's spirit in action. And when we finally get to, when it's appropriate and it feels right and they're ready, you know, you got to be worthy, willing, and ready. When you got to be ready, when they're ready, we start addressing worthiness and enoughness. We can always start there.
They
get a little resistant once in a while, though. It's like, of course I'm enough. Look at all the things I've accomplished. And I'm like, it's not about what you accomplish. Being enough has nothing to do with what you do. Feeling enough has everything to do with who you are.
You are.
In touch with yourself.
And that's what, you're right, that's what most people don't get. And when they get to that place, and I experience it, when they get to that place of just feeling good about themselves and opening to all, to their own spirituality, which I love how you present it, Gary, because it is simple. It's not this convoluted way you have to do this 10 times a day or what. It's really about opening your heart and the openness to everything that's around you and feeling like you did this incredible video for Motivation Marathon. And you're on the beach, and I remember that. I was looking at that the other day. I thought, wow, that just allowed people to access their own spirituality because we were there with you as you're walking and talking, and it was a beautiful day it's a way of really lighting, I would say, your own heart. So tell us more about how people can get a hold of you and how can they get the hold of these tools that you have and the infinite possibilities and more, the mindful tools and your website, because I think these gems are to be shared with so many people.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, it's GaryKobat.com. Just go ahead and put your email address in there, and you'll start getting all these great little tools for free. And everything's complimentary. It's my way of just sharing with you just gifts that I have, and just one or two of these are going to resonate fairly quickly. And then if you feel that they did resonate, go ahead and share it with a friend. So I'll just keep it simple and just say GaryKobat.com. Go ahead and put your email address in there, and in about a month or sooner, you're going to get this mindful tool library, and then you'll have a mindful tool a day if you need to just get yourself re-anchored to yourself, stop giving away your power, and start facing your fears. And then within about 2 months, the all-inclusive destination website will be there, where they'll have plenty of videos and they'll have plenty of other tools that they can just wrap their head around, and then obviously we'll be putting on our programs later in the year.
Gary, was there any one person or one particular experience or incident that changed your life and moved you forward to doing exactly what you're doing and got you focused and started on your journey?
Many, many, many things have helped shift, helped influence. But the one that I like sharing most is pain. Mm. Pain was probably my biggest transformational assistant. When, you know, you have to have a new knee or you have to have a new hip or you are faced with losing your career or not being able to move again, when your heart is broken and you love the woman to, you know, just tremendously, pain is a wake-up call. And pain sped my growth. It sped up quickly. Made me face myself, turn my energies back to myself, care for myself. And so if anybody is in pain right now, it's an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing wake-up call. Even though it doesn't feel good initially, when you look back, you can look back at every experience or moments of pain, and you'll find that you learn so much from them.
Wow, that's incredible. And you know what? As you're talking, I'm realizing that that was one of my wake-up calls too, pain, to set me right on track to do what I love doing, and that's what we started with, do what you love to do, and all of this stuff will just fall into place. And Gary, lastly, because you and I could talk forever, and you're such an upbeat, stimulating, and loving human being and coach and teacher, what are your last parting words to our listening audience? Because there's so much more that you have to say.
You're worth it. You always have been. You always will be.
Perfect. Thank you so much. You've been incredible. And folks, make sure you go to Gary's website and get all the wonderful tools and spend time listening to him. You also have videos on YouTube, right? You have a lot of information that people can access almost immediately.
Absolutely. It's been awesome. Thank you so much. I'm honored.
My pleasure. Thank you, Gary. Have a blessed day.
You too. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. So, folks, what I want you to do is to really pay attention to what Gary was talking about. And this is something that I always say, too. What are you doing today with your power? This show is called Power Your Life. Are you giving away your power? Are you finding ways to breathe in your wonderful greatness? Are you experiencing that inner power, that inner wisdom, that inner joy, that inner truth that is totally, exquisitely your own? If you're not, do something that Gary just mentioned today. Get that love list out and figure out what you love to do and figure out also, create another love list about ways that you love you, because even if you only come up with two or three, what I want you to do today is to focus on those ways that you love yourself and spend moments today to power up your life and your experiences by loving yourself even more. And power up your dreams by remembering what Gary said, you are enough. You always have been. You always will be. I love that expression, you are enough. It's been wonderful to interview Gary. He has such incredible information to share. So please, folks, I encourage you to go to his website. I get these gems like twice a week, and what it does is it's really uplifting. It allows you to remember exactly who you are as a creator, as an incredible human being who can touch the world in your own special way. So do that. Next week, we are talking about caregiving, and we have Beth McLeod, who is an author, journalist, speaker, and consultant. She's written for Good Housekeeping, Self, Family Circle, The Wall Street Journal. She's the editor of Rodale Press and Thou Shall Honor, and continues to expand her range of expertise into wellness, renewal, and spirituality at midlife, just like what we were talking about today. We also have with us Dr. Diana Denholm, who wrote the Caregiving Wife's Handbook. And she has a book that really, she took care of her husband for many, many years, 11 years. She was a primary caregiver. And her book really offers advice, inspiration, and resources for wives caring for husbands with long-term illnesses. And she's developed a 6-step communication strategy for the caregiving wife. So tune in, because I've been a caregiver, and caregiving is a challenge and also can be one of the most incredible experiences. I was caregiving my mom, and to this day, I feel so blessed. I was fatigued, and I was tired, and I was overwhelmed, and I was in tears a lot. But when I look back, it brought me closer to my mom in a way that I would never have been able to have. And so I treasure that time that I had with her. Tune in next week, next Wednesday, excuse me, and power your life. Go to my website, drjoannewhite.com, get some free information and tools to power your life. And folks, have a blessed, wonderful day, today and every day. And thanks for being here with us.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.